Well, hey, today we're going to get back to our core value series. And again, we started this back in October. And it's kind of some of the things here at LCC Berwick that we think are vitally, vitally important. Just for a quick review, a couple of things that we talked about was number one, unity. You know what, guys? The enemy is not scared of a large church, but he's scared of a unified church. Amen? And if we can get on the same page, if we can stay on the same page. Now unity is not uniformity. Okay? We're not going to all look the same. Whew. Glad I won't look like some of you, okay? And aren't you glad you won't look like me, okay? But we're not all going to be the same. We're not just going to be a bunch of bobbleheads that say, yeah, whatever, Pastor, no. But we're going to be unified when it comes to purpose, when it comes to things that are important, when it comes to things found in this book, when it comes to the message of the gospel. We're going to be unified. We're going to be on the same page, amen? And that's so vitally important. We also talked about how we love God and we love people. You know, if the Bible could be summed up in two phrases, it would probably be that, the great commandment and the golden rule, that we're going to love God with all of our heart and we're going to love people like we love ourselves. We're going to take care of that, and that's so vitally important. And then, of course, we talked also about how we love missions. You know, we love missions, guys. It's not just a few flags that we stick around the sanctuary to decorate. No, we love missions. We believe in the cause of Christ. We believe that every person should have the opportunity to accept that same Jesus that we got to accept. Amen? And missions makes that possible. Well, today, we're going to continue our topic, and the statement I'm going to make, it's really a declarative statement, is a very simple one, but it's multifaceted, and it's really, really simple. And the simple statement today of our core value is we at LCC believe God. We believe God. We believe God in every area of our lives. The Senecas believe God. This church believes God, and you should believe God too. You should believe God in every area of your life. You should believe God for your healing. You should believe God for your salvation as you have. We need to believe God for our family. We need to believe God in every aspect of our lives. Amen? It's a core value. It's a hallmark of our faith. We must believe God. Amen? We believe God for everything and in every area of our lives. Amen? So we're just going to ask the Lord right now to touch us and to strengthen us and to help us through his word to believe him in even a greater way as we move forward in our walk of faith. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for an opportunity, Lord God, to teach your word. And I just ask right now, Lord God, that you would help us, Lord God, to believe you in even a greater way. I thank you, God, that we've got some giants of faith sitting in this room today, Lord, who have believed you for many, many years. Lord, I pray that, God, we would all become that one day. God, that we would believe you in every aspect of our lives. Throughout every decade of our lives, let us believe you in a greater way. Touch this church and bless this message. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Believe is defined as to accept something as true, to feel secure of the truth of, to have faith in, especially religious faith. Guys, my belief was maybe a little shaken during that ball game at times yesterday, okay? I believed very much at halftime when we were up by 20. But as maybe our offense went into a little bit of a lull and the kid with the bad ankle started to really zing the ball around the ball field, I started to get a little nervous, Pastor Andy. And in fact, my wife didn't say that I was going back and forth to the washroom, okay? I was going back and forth to the bathroom. I was nervous, guys, okay? I was like, I can't even watch this game. And then it invariably at times when LSU did something well, my boys said, stay away, Dad. Don't come watch this, okay? Hunter didn't even let me watch the two-point conversion, which we missed, by the way. So, again, that violates your... Me and Hunter were changing clothes, okay? Because in the first half, he wore that little hoodie that he's wearing, and we did really well. Then he took it off for some reason. I guess he got a little warm, and Alabama made a comeback, so he put it back on. Again, like that affects the outcome of the game. But we were all nervous, okay? Our belief was maybe being shaken a little bit. You know what, guys? Our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ should never be shaken. Amen? We should have supreme confidence that we serve a God who can do what he says he can do. Amen? He's done it before. He'll do it again. We need to get to a place that we can accept everything God says in this word as truth. Amen? It's true in every situation. You know, today we've heard about situational ethics, okay? Basically, things change depending on the situation. Guys, this word never changes. Amen? It never will. Though the methods of the gospel should change, and they must, the message of the gospel can never change. Amen? We must be about this word. We must believe that God is true. We need to have faith in. We here at LCC have chosen to believe God, to believe that He can do what He says He can do. This kind of belief or faith is what has taken it, as what has allowed us to grow from 23 on our first Sunday. Do you know, a little over 3 years ago, this sanctuary, we had 23 people my first Sunday as pastor. But we believed God. We had some folks who have been believing God for years and years and years and say, God's not done with this church. He wasn't, and He still isn't. Amen? God's not done. God is a long way from being done. Amen? But it's taken belief for us to get to where we are today. But guess what? We can't stop now. We can't stop now. You know what? One of the common themes after that ball game yesterday is many of the LSU Tigers said, this is not the end of the season. We have much work left to do, okay? You know, our goal was not to just beat Alabama, even though that was really, really nice, okay? They have bigger fish to fry. They have more things left to do. Guess what, guys? We as a church have more left to do as well. Amen? We're not done, okay? We're not done. We're just beginning. But we've got to believe God. Amen? It's the kind of belief that has brought us to where we are today, and it's the kind of belief that will bring us home. Guys, we must continue to believe God to fulfill every promise that's been spoken over this church, every promise spoken over your family. Until every one of your loved ones are saved, we're going to keep believing God. Until every one of you in here are healed, we're going to keep believing God. Until every person under the sound of my voice has grown closer to God in so many ways, we're going to keep believing God. Amen? Look, guys, God is doing some great things at this church. He's doing some great things at other churches. But guess what? There's still a lot of people this morning ain't in church anywhere. Amen? We've still got work to do, okay? I'm excited about all the people sitting in the pews, but we still have room for more. Amen? And we have to believe God. We have to believe God to see Him do great things. As I mentioned, this statement that we believe God is multifaceted. So let's look at just a few of these areas that we need to believe God more in. Number one, we as a church believe in the power of prayer. Amen? We believe in the power of prayer. James 5 and 16 states emphatically, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see it up there. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does that mean? It means prayer works. Amen? I say prayer works, okay? It's why we do it. It's why we talk about it all the time. It's why it's something that should be a regular part of our lives. Prayer works. You know, a few months ago, I preached a sermon on prayer, and normally that's Pastor Ronnie's territory, okay? But I touched on it a little bit, and I looked up some quotes about prayer. Here's a few of them. Rick Warren said, God can handle your doubt, your anger, your fear, your grief, your confusion, and your questions. You can bring everything to Him in prayer. Look, guys, prayer is just talking to a friend. Amen? Sometimes you don't know how to pray. Just begin to pour your heart out. Here's the amazing thing. God understands every tear that rolls down your cheek. Okay? You know what? As a husband, sometimes when my little girl cries a little bit, I don't understand what it's about. Chad, I don't know if I did something. I don't know if I should say something. I don't know if Hayden's to blame. I really don't know, okay? Yeah, normally Hayden's to blame, okay? I'm glad when it's Hayden that's at fault, not me, okay? By the way, any husbands in here, you ever been in trouble? You didn't even know it. Chris, you ever been there? Okay, watch that. You shouldn't have lifted your hand, buddy. You just need to nod, okay? No, look. God can handle stuff better than anybody else can. God can handle stuff your spouse can't handle. God can handle anything. Take it to Him in prayer. Also, if you only pray when you're in trouble, honey, you're in trouble. If you only pray when you're in a bind, you're in a bind. Guys, we need to pray every day. We need to pray about everything. Amen? Prayer does not change God, but it changes him who prays. Oswald Chambers said, prayer is the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Our prayers have no expiration date. You never know when, where, or how God will answer them. You know, some of you are sitting in here today because somebody prayed for you. Some of you are sitting in here today. Your family is what it is today because somebody prayed. Amen? It's time for us to be that somebody. Amen? Max Lucado said our prayers do make a difference. Leonard Ravenhill said no man is greater than his prayer life. Let that sink in. No man or woman is greater than his prayer life. Look, guys, it's what's done in secret that comes out in public. If you pray in secret, if you touch the throne room of God in private, you're going to do great things in public. Amen? Guys, we need to be about prayer. Sometimes all you need to do is pray. Sometimes all you need to do is pray, guys. We could go on and on and on about the power of prayer, but you understand it. You understand what's important. You see, guys, we believe in prayer, which is why we start every month with our first prayer, first Monday, prayer and praise. Guys, we don't just do that to have something else to do. We do it because it sets the tone for the month. Amen? We come together. We pray. We touch God. We set the tone for the month. It's why we come together every Wednesday at noon to pray. Guys, if you haven't had a chance to join us yet, we encourage you to join us. It's the best 30 minutes of your week, I promise you, because you're praying for others. You're praying selfless prayers. It makes a difference. Consider for a moment with me some of the things that Jesus had to say about prayer, okay? Look, I don't just believe in prayer because great men of God talk about it and because I've done it, but because Jesus taught about it, we ought to take it as important things to do. Consider what Jesus taught about in prayer. Matthew chapter number 7, beginning with verse number 7. Matthew 7 and 7, Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" How do we ask him? We ask him in prayer, guys. We need to take everything to the Lord in prayer. The big stuff, the little stuff, and everything in between. Amen? Jesus continued in Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18, Jesus continued with verse number 18, talking about prayer when he says this. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Guys, our prayers on this side have effect on the other side. Amen? What we bind, what we loose here on earth, it happens in the spiritual realm. It happens in the heavenlies. Verse 19. Look at the power of prayer when you get somebody to pray with you. Again, Jesus said, "I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it will be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Guys, anytime believers get together, Jesus is there. Amen? Anytime we get our faith together, anytime we come together, men at the outpost, we come together, we're going to have, the Spirit of the Lord is going to be there. We need to pray. We need to go to God. We need to put our faith together and ask him to do something. Jesus continued in Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter number 21, verse number 21 and 22. Jesus said this, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do which is done to the fig tree, but you'll also say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things," say all things, "and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Guys, if you believe in the power of prayer, it'll make a difference in your life. Amen? We need to pray. John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. Jesus is continuing his teaching here. John chapter 14. We're going to come back and visit John chapter 14 again because there's some good gold there. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Jesus says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." Wow. You know, sometimes I think we read that and we don't realize what we just read. Okay? Think about what Jesus just said. He said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," do you believe? "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." Think about some of the things Jesus did. Wow, you can do those same things. But he doesn't stop there. And greater works, say greater works, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Guys, why don't we pray more? What's our problem sometimes? Guys, I think the problem is the enemy has fooled us into forgetting what we should know. I think all the time Christians get in the most trouble when we forget what we should know. We forget how important prayer is. We forget how effective prayer is. You ever wonder why when you get down to pray, Gary, you get a call from work? when you get down to pray, things start going wrong. When you get down to pray, you start thinking about everything, about what you should be praying about. Why? Because the enemy is trying to distract you. The enemy is trying to keep you from doing what you know will work. Guys, we need to be about prayer. There is great power in prayer. But as I've said it many times, the devil doesn't care how much we know about prayer, how much we talk about prayer, how much we even preach or teach about prayer. But when we just do it, when we begin to do it, when we begin to put these scriptures into action, when we begin to pray, he gets real, real nervous. Why? Because prayer is the most powerful weapon we have in spiritual warfare. LCC believes in prayer. Amen? And you should too. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Second thing we believe in. We believe that God keeps his promises. We believe that God keeps his promises. Did you know that there are anywhere from as few as 3,000 to as many as 30,000 promises found in the Bible? Did you realize that? As little as 3,000, maybe as many as 30,000 promises in the Bible. It's generally accepted that the number is somewhere between 3 and 7,000. So how many of these promises do we believe? Exactly. All of them. All of them. If God said it in this book, I believe it. Amen? That settles it. I don't care what you think about it. I don't care what the media says about it. If God said it, I believe it. Amen? And you should too. Why? Because we believe in God's promises. It should go without saying that in order to believe God's promises, we must believe in the Bible. God's holy word given to us so that we can use it like Paul told Timothy to in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Let's see what Paul told Timothy about the power of this word. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 14. Again, Paul is teaching the young protege Timothy. But continue thou in the things which I have learned and which thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned about, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make the wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Look, guys, learn the scriptures that'll make you wise. You know, I'm constantly reminding my boys, read the word, guys. Get in the Word. Have you been reading your Bible? Because that's how you become wise. That's how you know what's right and you know what's wrong. Verse 16, all Scripture, say all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Look, guys, you cannot grow in your walk with God if you don't read the Word of God. Amen? You cannot grow as a Christian. You cannot have your faith. How is faith grown? By hearing the Word. The Word will grow you. The Word will strengthen you. Amen? And look, guys, we need to get to the place where we don't just read the Word. We let the Word read us. Look, guys, if you haven't prayed this prayer before you start reading your Bible, start praying it. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, speak to me through this word. Amen? Because, look, it's one thing to read the word. It's another thing to have the word reading you. Okay? And, John, I've read the same scripture over and over. Every year I read through the Bible. Every year. Okay? I read stuff that I've read before. I've preached on before. But it's amazing. When you pray those prayers, the Holy Spirit shows me something brand new. He shows me something just for me. Sometimes he shows me something just for you. Let me be honest. I'd rather when he shows me stuff just for me. Okay? I love when he gives me a nugget just for me. And boy, I can get excited. Why? Because God is speaking to me through his word. But he'll do the same for you. but you got to ask him. You got to do it. You got to be people of the Word. Amen? How can you know the promises of God if you haven't read the Word of God? We got to do it. Earlier this year, I preached a sermon series on God's promises. And boy, that was some good stuff. But I just want to highlight just a few of those promises, okay? I'm going to start in the book of Romans. And I've been teaching on Romans on Wednesday nights, and it's been so good. There's so much gold in Romans. But let me just hit a few of the highlights of Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation of those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Aren't you glad that your sins have been forgiven? Aren't you glad that you don't have to deal with guilt and condemnation anymore? Look, guys, you know the difference between condemnation and conviction, right? Condemnation comes from the devil and it makes you want to quit. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. It makes you want to change. There's a big difference. Sometimes it might feel the same. Sometimes it might feel the same. You kind of feel bad a little bit. But guess what? Conviction will get you closer to God. Condemnation will make you want to quit. But you got to know what the Word says. There is therefore now what? No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. How about verses 16 and 17? I love this. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. Look, guys. We know what it's like to be from the right family, right? Some of us are from the right family. Some of us, well, we're from a family. Guess what? We're all part of the family of God. Amen? It doesn't matter if you were born across the tracks, on the tracks, okay? It doesn't matter. You are in the family of God. Amen? You are a child of God, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with you. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so that we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together with Him. Guys, you're in the right family. You're in the family of God, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with your heart that that is true. Look at verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Guys, it doesn't say all things are good. It doesn't say everything you're going to go through is going to be good, but it says God's able to work all things out for your good if you will trust Him. Amen? You got to trust Him. You got to trust these promises are true. Verse number 31, what shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Verse number 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Friends, God loves you. And there's nothing you can do to change that. God loves you. God loves you, and there's nothing we could ever do. There's nothing the enemy could ever do to take that away from you. It's a promise, and God keeps His promises. How about the promise of Romans 10 and 13? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad you're a whosoever? I'm so glad 25 years ago when this whosoever called upon the name of the Lord, Tom, he heard me, and he answered me, and he touched me, and he changed me. And how do I know I'm saved? Because the Word says I'm saved. Amen? Look, guys, it ain't because I feel saved all the time, okay? I know I'm saved because the Word declares I'm saved. So many times I see young Christians, I see teenagers struggling with their faith because they don't always feel saved. Heck, they don't always act saved. By the way, some of you adults, you don't act saved either, okay? But guess what? I know I'm saved because the Bible says I'm saved, amen? What about when I mess up? 1 John 1 and 9, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, amen? Guess what? I'm going to apply the Word. When in doubt, apply the Word. When you don't know what to do, look in the Word. Amen? But you got to know the Word. You got to know the promises. How about the promise of a heavenly home? Oh, I love that. I love that. Back to John chapter number 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Where's Jesus at right now preparing a place for you? He's made preparations for you. Verse number 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Hey, friends, He's coming again. He is coming again, and receive us unto himself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas, like, God, we don't know. Verse number 5, Lord, we don't know whether you go us. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Guys, that's a promise of a heavenly home. Amen? Shouldn't matter what you're going through on this side of heaven. When you think about where you're going, it makes it okay. Amen? There's a heavenly home. There's a great reunion that's coming our way. All your loved ones that have gone on in the faith, you're going to see them again. Because Jesus has made preparations for them, and he's made preparations for you as well. I alluded to this earlier. How about the promise of peace found in John 14:27? Jesus said, peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Guys, there's nothing like the peace of God. There's nothing like God's peace coming into a situation and changing everything. Hey, guess what? There's some great Old Testament promises as well. Some great Old Testament promises. You're going to like this one. Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus 15, verse number 26. Good stuff. The Bible says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do which is right in thy sight, will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon them which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Look, guys, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That is a great promise. It's a promise from heaven. It's a promise of God. It's one that you should stand upon. Couple that with Isaiah 53. I love this. Surely, verse number 4 says, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Guys, we serve a God who believes in healing. We serve a God who is able to heal. All it takes is a little faith. All it takes is a little faith. Look, Mark Batterson said this in his book. Faith doesn't ignore a doctor's diagnosis. It simply seeks a second opinion from the great physician. Let me say that again. Faith doesn't ignore a doctor's diagnosis. It simply seeks a second opinion from the great physician. Here's what I want to do. You need a healing touch in your body right here and right now. Stand to your feet real quickly, right now. If you need a healing in your body, no matter what it is, no matter what you're going through, stand to your feet. Church, I want us to pray right now. The Bible declares, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen? Let's pray him to do his work right now. Lord, I pray for every believer standing up right now. We're believing you for healing. We're believing you right now to touch my friend's back. Lord, thank you that you're more than able. Not because I'm able, but because your word declares it. Thank you, Lord God, that every person standing up, every person watching via Facebook is receiving a promise right now. A promise of healing. A promise of deliverance. A promise of breakthrough. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I declare healing. I decree it and I speak it. Call it done in the name of Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, you said it. I am the Lord that healeth thee. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody would shout, amen and amen. Give the Lord a great big old hand, would you? You may be seated. Why do we do that, preacher? Because we believe in promises. We believe that God keeps his promises. While I'm in Isaiah, I couldn't bypass Isaiah 54:17 that says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon, not even sickness. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Guys, you have promises. You just got to know them, and you got to stand on them. God's promises could not be complete without a quick visit to Philippians chapter number 4. Oh, I love Philippians chapter 4. I love Philippians. Guys, you know what? Philippians is one of the greatest books ever written in the Bible. And you know it was written from prison? It just reminds us that your circumstances don't have to dictate your future. Amen? Your faith can override your circumstances. When you think about some of the things Paul wrote, he wrote it from a dungeon. He wrote it from a jail cell. Now, keep that in mind when we read Philippians 4:13. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many things? All things. There's nothing you can't do. How about verse 19? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Look, guys, there's no recession in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. They didn't start filling potholes with silver. There's still gold. By the way, there's no potholes in heaven. Okay? They got real guys who can do street work up there. Okay? No Louisiana roads in heaven. Maybe some somewhere else, but not in heaven. Look, guys, we serve a God who keeps his promises, and we believe it. Amen? Finally, we believe that God has good plans and purposes for all of us here today. We believe in God's plans and purposes. We believe this is based on the promise of Jeremiah 29:11, which in the NIV says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." Guys, that was a promise given to nation Israel. That was given to Israel when they were going through some tough times, when they were disobeying the Lord. But God wanted to give them hope. He said, I still have plans for you. I still have purposes for you. You haven't blown it yet. Guys, the same message that he gave the children of Israel, I'm giving you today. You haven't blown it yet either. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. You haven't changed the plans and purposes of God over your life. You're not that powerful. Amen? As long as there is breath in your lungs, this promise can still be true for you. Amen? God knows the plans and purposes for you. You just simply have to work with him. So many times we kick against the plan of God. We want anything but the plan of God. We're fighting the plan of God. Stop fighting against the plan of God and start working with the plan of God. Amen? We serve a God who has some great and awesome plans for you. God's amazing plans for every one of us here today, from young to old and everyone in between. We've just got to believe this and trust him to accomplish it in our lives. God's not done with Bernie and Annalie yet. He still has plans and purposes for them. Amen? He's not done with Hunter and Hayden Seneca. He's still got plans and purposes for them. Cullen, he's not done with you. He's not done with any of us in here. He has plans and purposes for us. We just got to believe it, and we got to act it. Amen? See, here's the interesting thing. What you believe has to change the way you act. Good friend of mine, Woody Gunnels, once said this. Faith is what we believe. Trust is what we do with that belief. Let me say that again. Faith is what we believe. Trust is what we do with that belief. See, belief is not enough in and of itself, because the Bible says even the demons believe. They know, okay, but it doesn't change their actions. But what we believe must change how we act. Amen? So we must act upon what we believe to be true concerning God's plans for our life. Work with God, not against him. Trust his plans throughout the process. There's that word none of us like, the process. Amen? I love the destination, but sometimes the process ain't no fun. But guess what? I'm going to trust the God of the process. Amen? Because he knows what's best for me. I don't know everything. He knows everything. I don't see everything he's trying to accomplish in my life, but I'm going to trust him nonetheless. That's why promises like Proverbs chapter number 3 come into place. I love Proverbs. I love that amazing reminder in Proverbs chapter number 3, where we're reminded in verse number 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't hold nothing back, guys. Trust him with everything. Lean not on your own understanding. Look, guys, you don't have it all figured out. He already has. Verse number 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and then he gives you a promise to direct your paths. Look, guys, for some 25 years now, the Lord's been, well, actually, for 46 years now, the Lord's been directing my path. I just finally got with the program about 20 years ago. Little did I know he was still directing my path, even though I didn't know. Sometimes God is doing more than, in fact, most times God is doing more than we ever know. If we could get a glimpse of how much God is doing on our behalf. I heard a preacher say one time, God is always doing more than you can see. You just got to believe. Amen? Guys, what if I told you that that unsaved loved one was going to get saved by Thanksgiving? How excited would you be? Guess what? It might be happening. If I would tell you if this breakthrough would happen by Christmas, Christmas, how excited would you be? Miss Gail, if I tell you that the next time you go see your doctor, he's going to start scratching his head and going, I don't know, but these kidneys are good. Okay, they're working better than ever. How excited would you be? Guess what, guys? We just got to believe. We got to believe because we serve a God who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly more. Why do we keep that banner up there? Because it's a promise. And God keeps his promises. Amen? And we believe the plans and the purposes that he has for us. We just got to work with him. Finally, let's remember that God intends to finish what he started. One of my favorite scriptures, Philippians 1 and 6, it's a great reminder to us all. And it's one that we've talked about. It's kind of a theme of our church in many ways. Philippians 1 and 6. Being confident of this very thing, he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Guys, God finishes what he starts. Amen? God intends to finish what he started in your life. No matter where you are in the process, God intends to finish it if you'll let him. But it all comes back to you. It comes back to you choosing well. Friends, we have chosen as a church to believe God. I challenge you to do the same. LCC believes God has great plans and purposes for all of us here today. As Miss Bliss comes, I close with a story from Mark chapter number 9 that just kind of sums everything up. I read this story and then I started putting this message together because there's just two little things that jump out at me. So I want to read it to you. Mark chapter number 9, beginning with verse number 17. It's an interesting story just of what's going on in the life of Jesus, and let's look at it together. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 17, the King James Version says this, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whatsoever taketh him, tears him, and he foams, and he gnashes with his teeth, and pines away. And I spoke to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." The boy had a demon. The boy had some real issues, and this dad had brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't do much with him. Verse number 19, Jesus answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." By the way, I think he was really directed that at his disciples. Boys, really? After 3 years. Bring him over here. "And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed around. And he asked his father, how long is it since this has come unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it's cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him, that if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." Guys, that's one of the things we need to hang on to. If you can believe, all things are possible. This dad was at a moment of crisis. He come to the end of themselves. He brought him to Jesus. And look at the statement, if you can even do anything. He didn't realize who he was talking to. He was talking to the one that demons shudder. They're scared to death. It's the Son of God. And this dad had been through so much with his boy. He's like, even if you can do anything. And Jesus spoke to his faith and he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Why is it important that we believe God around here? Because all things are possible to him that believes. Amen? Let me continue with the story. "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." You know what, guys? That's a prayer request for all of us, isn't it? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me in those areas that I'm kind of weak. Help me in those areas that life has beat me up a little bit. Help me in those. Maybe it's your body. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's some other sin. Maybe it's your finances. You know, it's amazing that we can believe God in one area of our life, but we struggle in other areas of our life. The prayer for you today is, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but you know how it turns out. Jesus gloriously delivers the young man and just does an amazing work right there. But two statements that jumped out at me. Jesus saying, if we'll believe, all things are possible. And then, Lord, help my unbelief.